Evening. We're going to make a wee start just to our prayer meeting tonight by singing together just this great old hymn of testimony in our hymn sheet tonight. The hymn writer says, Jesus, what a friend of sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends may fail me, foes assail me, he, my Savior, makes me whole. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a friend. Saving, helping, keeping, loving, he is with me too. The end. And that's our great hope and confidence in the Lord, knowing the Christ of Calvary as our Savior and as our friend. We'll keep our seats while we sing as our sister just leads us in the organ, please, this evening.
Jesus, Lord of my soul, praise.
confess the great words of truth of that hymn even to our hearts this evening. We're just going to seek the Lord in prayer, and let us just look to the Lord tonight afresh for His grace and help and blessing to be our portion in this prayer meeting tonight. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we come, O God, before Thee this evening hour in the Saviour's precious and wonderful and all-holy and all-prevailing and all-powerful name. And Father, we thank Thee for the great words of this hymn of which we've been singing tonight. We thank Thee for Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners, that friend who saves, that friend who keeps, that friend who loves, that friend that is with His people day by day. Lord, Thy word speaks of Christ and His people, and it says, having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou dost love us with an everlasting love. And Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace toward us in Christ. We thank Thee that in grace Christ came, and He died for us upon the cross. We thank Thee, Father in heaven, tonight afresh for His atoning death and that once for all sacrifice for us guilty sinners when Christ suffered and bled and died. And Father, we thank Thee tonight that we can rejoice as Thy people in the forgiveness of our sins, and not because of anything that we have done or man's device or creed, but because of what Christ has done for us when He poured out His life unto death and made Himself an offering for sinners. And Father, we thank Thee tonight afresh for His precious blood. We rejoice in the power of the blood of the Lamb, that blood that cleanseth us from all sin. And Father, we thank Thee, O God, tonight as Your people. We can rejoice that our sins have been blotted out, cast into the sea of Thy forgetfulness. We thank Thee, Father in heaven, for the inheritance that we have in Christ, that our names are written down in the Lamb's book of life, never to be erased. We thank Thee, Father, for that great hope we have of everlasting life. We thank Thee, Father, for the help, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who comes alongside us and helps us day by day as the people of God. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast promised Thy people, I will be with Thee, I will not fail Thee, I will not forsake Thee. And Father, we rejoice in Thy goodness and Thy mercies to us, even throughout today. And Lord, for Thy hand upon us and enabling us, Lord, to gather here in the house of the Lord and fellowship with the saints of God. And Father, we thank Thee for that great promise of Christ when He said, where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst. And we pray tonight, O Lord, that we will know a sweet fellowship, Lord, with Thee. How the hymn writer could say, rich are the moments of blessing spent in communion with Thee. May that be our portion tonight, O God. Bless us around the Word of God. Lord, commune with our soul. We would say to Thee like the spouse in the Song of Solomon, draw us, Lord, and we shall run after Thee. The Lord bless us in the season of prayer. Help us to pray. Lord, teach us to pray. We thank the Lord for this wonderful privilege that we have of coming before Thee, the God of heaven, now the one who is King of kings and Lord of lords. And Father, we thank Thee that Thou dost never weary of our coming. We thank Thee that Thou dost invite us to come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And Lord, bless us and help us to pour out our hearts before Thee in prayer. Lord, You have said that Thou wilt pour upon Thy people the spirit of grace and prayer and supplication. We thank Thee for all who have been able to come tonight, for every head bowed before Thee, every family represented. Lord, meet the needs of all our homes and our families. Now, Lord, unite our family circles in the Lord, and may each family and household know the rich blessing of the Lord, that blessing that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow thereto. Remember any that cannot be with us tonight because of age and sickness and infirmity. We pray for Thy touch to be upon them, encourage them, and strengthen them by the grace of God. For any, Lord, who might be shielding as well, Lord, watch over them and bless them and protect them, we pray. And Father, bless all connected here with our congregation. Bless every household, every family. And Lord, we pray that in these days in which we live, that Thou, Lord, will visit this work in mercy. Visit it, Lord, in grace. And even, Lord, with salvation
O God, we pray. We thank thee for the meeting tonight, and Tresna, bless each boy and girl there who gathered to hear your word. Remember the other meeting on Friday night, the youth fellowship, and the services here in the Lord's Day, the Sunday school, the Bible class, and the special missionary meetings, Lord, in thy will. We pray that we might know a time of great blessing from the right hand of our God. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, gospel missions on at this time, and ministry meetings, Lord. Bless every faithful servant and ambassador for Christ. Bless the going forth of your word. Lord, extend thy kingdom, build thy church. And Lord, bring many into the family and into the fold of God. At this particular time, we pray. Answer prayer, O God. Remember again the situation regarding this virus in our land. Lord, continue to put thy restraining hand upon it, we pray. And grant, O God, that even those that are ill with it would know healing. And Lord, those who have suffered loss through it, may they know comfort. Give wisdom to our government in dealing with the situation. Give protection to our medical services. And even, Lord, in all of this, may men realize that God is on the throne. And that, Lord, there needs to be that looking, O God, to thee. That turning unto the Lord, our God. Be with us now, we pray. Shelter our meeting over and around with the precious blood. Cleanse our hearts afresh in the blood of the Lamb. And have thy way among us, and do every heart much good. For we do pray and do ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now we're going to turn tonight, please, in God's Word to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 24. And we're going to read just from the verse number 36 of the chapter, going down to the end of the verse number 48. We're turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, just bringing in at the middle part of the chapter there, verse 36. And reading down to the end of the verse 48. And when you're looking it up, I want to welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us tonight in the season of prayer. We bid you welcome. Trust the Lord will bless you tonight around God's Word and around the throne of grace and prayer. And for those also that may be listening in online, whoever you are, wherever you might be, we pray that you too will know the blessing of the Lord upon you this evening. Remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Plan to join with us. Friday night, 6:30, the children's meeting, youth fellowship at 8 o'clock, and then the Sunday school and Bible class, 11 a.m. on the Lord's Day. And then remember special missionary services this weekend. The Reverend Horace will be with us in the Lord's Day morning at 12 noon, and then the Reverend Paul Hanna will be with us at night at 7 o'clock. Brother Horace will be giving a report on different missionary works and our mission board around the world, bringing God's Word on the need for missionaries today. And the Reverend Hannah will be giving a report and an update on the work of Let the Bible Speak radio and television ministry, and then bringing God's Word also. So be much in prayer for these meetings and for the Lord's servants as they come. Do make them known, the meetings, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's Word. Reading tonight from Luke chapter 24, beginning at the verse number 36. Let us hear God's Word just as we read it together this evening. Luke 24, verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit have not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I speak unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me.
Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 48. And may the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his eternal and inerrant word to our hearts. And a little text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting tonight is a question. There are just four words in that question. You find it there in the early part of verse number 38 of this chapter, where it simply says, Why are ye troubled? Why are ye troubled? Now, one of the great blessings which the Lord bestows upon his people is the blessing of peace. Yes, through faith in Christ as Savior, the believer can know peace with God. And they can also know the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. And the Lord himself makes mention of this latter peace to his disciples here in verse 36 of this chapter, where it says of Christ, and as they thus spake, that's the disciples, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And here you have the resurrected Christ, and he appears to the 11 disciples in the upper room in Jerusalem. This was in fact the fifth appearance of Christ on the day of his resurrection. Yes, he had appeared earlier on that day to Mary Magdalene when she was alone in the garden. And then he also appeared to the two Marys on their way home from the empty sepulchre. And then we're told also in the Scripture how he shows himself to Peter. And then earlier on in this very chapter, you read of how he reveals himself unto the two sorrowing disciples on the road to Emmaus. And now here we read of a meeting together with the 11 disciples in Jerusalem. And I want you to notice tonight that as he meets here with them, it says Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. He appeared to them as a resurrected Christ. And notice the message again. He said, unto them, peace be unto you. Now, who were these disciples? These were the disciples who earlier, just before his death, who had forsaken him. These were his disciples who had turned their back upon him. Among them was Peter, who had denied him with oaths and with curses. But I want you to notice here how the Lord deals with them. He deals here graciously with them. He does not come here to complain against them. He does not come here to scold them or to upbraid them. No, he simply says, peace, peace be unto you. What a message of comfort he brings to them and encouragement. And you know, when you think about that, dear people, surely here there's a wonderful example also for every believer also to follow in their dealings with others, in particular in their dealings with their fellow Christians. And how the Christian should be compassionate and gracious, following the example of Christ as it is set before us here in verse 36 of the chapter. And the Lord said to them, peace be unto you. And we see how when the disciples saw Christ, they were afraid, they were overcome with fear. Look at verse 37. It says, but they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. That word spirit really refers to a ghost. This is what they thought that they were looking upon, and they were overcome with fear and with terror. But you see here how Christ knows all about their fears. Look at verse number 38. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your heart? He knew all about their fears, their concerns, their anxieties. And he just doesn't leave them there. No, he quells their fears by proving to them that he was indeed the resurrected Christ, the one who was now alive for forevermore. And how does he do this? Well, he does it by showing to them his hands and his feet. And what was he doing there? He was showing to them in particular the print of the nails on his hands and on his feet. He who had been crucified for them on the cross. Look at verse number 40 there of the chapter. It says, and when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. You can imagine what was going through their minds when they saw his hands and saw his feet. Those feet and those hands that had been pierced with the cruel Roman nails and spikes. And then he gives further proof and evidence here that he had risen from the dead, that he was alive, because he takes a meal with them. Look at what he says at the end of verse 41. He says, "Have you any meat?" He fellowships with them. And it says, "And he gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb, and he took it and did eat before them." This was no ghost. This was no apparition, no. This was indeed the very Christ of God, their Savior, who had died on the cross, whom they had shared close company with for some 3 years before his crucifixion. He was alive, and he proves this to them by the print of the nails in his hands and his feet, and by the very fact here that he eats this meal with them, he shows to them that he was risen from the dead, that he was alive, that he conquered death, and that he was risen again. Oh, what evidence he gives to them here to quell their fears and to assuage their anxieties and distress at this time. Now tonight I want us just to focus in particular upon this question here in verse number 38, as Christ here converses with the disciples at this time. But he says to them, "Why are ye troubled?" Why are you troubled? I want us to look at this question tonight, because just as the disciples were troubled, so there are times also when all God's people themselves can be beset with fears and can be beset with troubles. That was the case with one in the meeting tonight. You've come into this meeting and there are many fears in your heart tonight, many troubles in your mind. You've come here tonight troubled in heart, troubled in mind. I trust tonight the Lord will have a word for you in your time of anxiety and fear and time of trouble. Our text says, "Why are you troubled?" The Lord asked the disciples this question in their troubles. And likewise, he would ask you and I also the same question tonight in our troubles. Why are you troubled? Why are we concerned? Why are we distressed? Why are we perplexed? Well, in thinking upon this question, there are a number of things I just want to set before you tonight. And may they be an encouragement to us as God's people in the troubles and trials of life. First of all, whenever we think here upon this question, why are you troubled? We can answer by saying, yes, there are times whenever the believer is troubled by sin. This was the case with David in Psalm 51. For he says there in that psalm that my sin is ever before me. And he was troubled about his own sin as a believer, as a child of God. And this also can be our lot as well. Yes, as Christians, our soul can be vexed with our own sins. Sins past. And indeed, sins present. And my such vexation will rob us of the joy of our salvation. And it will also hinder our walk with God. Whenever we are troubled then with our own sin as believers, what are we to do? Well, we're to seek the Lord afresh for cleansing through the blood of Christ. That's what John tells us and teaches us to do as God's people. Over in 1 John chapter 1 and the verse number 7 and the verse number 9, he says, "The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." And my, the blood of Christ is the remedy for all our sins. It's that remedy to cleanse us from all our sins and blot out our sins before God. Why, the hymn writer rejoiced in this very same truth, for they could say, "Standing on the promises, I now can see perfect present cleansing in the blood for me." They were rejoicing in the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We can say further tonight also in dealing with the trouble of our own sin as God's children, we should pray. And my, we should ask the Lord to subdue our iniquities and give us grace to overcome the dominion of sin. My, this is something that God has promised to us as his people and to his church. The Bible says to the believer that sin shall not have dominion over you. Turn with me back to the book of Micah, the little prophecy of Micah in the Old Testament, and to the last chapter there of Micah. You come to Jonah, Micah chapter 7, Just look with me, please, at the verse number 19. And here we see how the Lord treats His people and what the Lord does for His people. It says there, He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Notice this. He will subdue our iniquities. My, when we're troubled with our own sins and infirmities as the people of God, how we can pray for grace to crucify, to subdue the old man, that old nature within, to subdue our iniquities within us. Yes, we can seek cleansing afresh through the blood of Christ. We can pray for grace to subdue our iniquities, to subdue that old man within us. But then also in further dealing with the trouble of sin in our lives, we should also remember as Christians that in heaven, in glory, we shall be totally free from all trace of sin and totally free from all trouble of sin. What does the Bible say about heaven? It says, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. What a hope we have, and that great hope surely should encourage us as Christians to long for heaven. And indeed, to long for the coming again of Christ, when there shall be no more sin. Yes, when we think, yes, upon this question, why are we troubled? Yes, we can say there are times when the believer, yes, is troubled by sin. But in the second place, we can say further tonight as we think upon this question, why are we troubled? We can also say, yes, there are times when the believer is troubled by this world. There are times, yes, when the believer is troubled by this world. And my, this was something, yes, that concerned the great Apostle Paul. In his letter to the church at Galatia, he refers to this world. He describes it like this, as this present evil world. That's how Paul described the world. He was concerned about this world. You see, he knew this world was no friend to grace. He knew this world was no friend to help him on in the Christian life and in his walk with God. And likewise, as believers, you and I also, yes, we can be troubled by this ungodly world, this evil world that troubles the people of God, troubles the saints of God. And when this happens, what are we to do as Christians? Well, Christian, you and I are to rejoice. Rejoice that God in grace has redeemed us out of the darkness of this world, and He's brought us into His family, into the glorious light of the gospel and the kingdom of God. This is something to rejoice in, even in this ungodly world. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 1, and also 1 Peter chapter number 2. Look at what Peter says there to the believer in verses 18 and 19 of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, for as much as you know, you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And what's the consequence of that redeeming blood and the power of that blood in our lives as God's people? It is that we've been brought into God's kingdom, the kingdom of light. Out of the kingdom of darkness we've been brought. Look at verse 9 of 1 Peter chapter 2. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him, notice it, who have called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Child of God tonight, this is your standing in Christ. Even in this ungodly world, this evil world, there is no friend to God, no friend to the Christian, no friend to grace. You've been redeemed. Redeemed by the blood of Christ. You've been chosen, brought into a royal priesthood, called out of darkness into the glorious and the marvelous light of Christ and the family of fold of God. O child of God, in dealing with this ungodly world, remember this, that this world is not our home. This world is not our home. The Bible says, here we have no continuing city. Believer, you belong to God. You've been redeemed to God by the blood of Christ. You belong to heaven. That's your home. The Bible says, for our conversation is in heaven. And that word conversation literally can be translated, our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven. If you hold a British passport, well, it shows that you're a citizen of the United Kingdom. Well, I suppose that could be questioned with this new protocol as a result of Brexit, but it really proves that you belong to the United Kingdom. Well, child of God, because of redemption through Christ, you're now a citizen of heaven, a citizen of glory. Your address is in glory in heaven. That's where you belong to. That's something to remember when this world, this ungodly world, troubles you as a believer, as a child of God. Also, in dealing with this ungodly world believer, pray for grace. That's also what we're doing when we're troubled by the world. Pray for grace to overcome and to resist the pressures and indeed the pull of this world, this ungodly world, and the evil ways of this world. You remember what Christ said to his disciples about this world in John's Gospel. He says, I have overcome the world. And my true faith in Christ, you and I also as believers can overcome this evil world, the pressures of it, and the pull of it. Listen to what John says as he writes to God's people in 1 John chapter 5 and the verse number 4, speaking of God's people and to God's people. He says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There he speaks of you and I overcoming this world, not through our own strength, but through faith in the Lord and the strength and the grace of God. And then also in our concern with this evil world, this ungodly world, my also as Christians in this ungodly world, we can depend upon the Lord to lead us right through this world. That's what he's promised to do, to lead us as his people. Guide us even in this ungodly world through prayer, through his word, through the scriptures. He says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It says, the Lord shall guide thee continually. And in this evil world, we can depend upon the Lord to guide us through this world. It has been said, God always provides a light through every one of his tunnels. God leads his people out of sin by faith, through the world by hope, and into heaven by love. Yes, we can see here there's a remedy even when we're troubled about this evil and godly world, when we're troubled with sin. But also in the third place, we can say further tonight, and thinking upon this question, why are ye troubled? We can say also, yes, that there are times when the believer is troubled by Satan himself, by our adversary, by our arch enemy. Peter the apostle experienced this. Remember what Christ said to them in the Gospel of Luke. He says, and behold, Satan have desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And again, when Peter was writing to God's people, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil attacks God's people, attacks the church of Christ. And even whenever he was here on earth, Satan, Christ was attacked by Satan. You read of the temptations of Christ in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. And if he attacked Peter, if he attacked the early church, if he attacked Christ, then Satan, yes, he will attack you and I also when we're saved. Why, when a person gets saved and gets right with God, they become the devil's number one enemy. The aim of the devil, the fiery darts of the wicked one are aimed at him. But praise God. As Christians, we can overcome his attacks, the attacks of Satan. How? Through Christ. Listen again to what John says to God's people in 1 John 4, verse 4. He says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There he was encouraging God's people that there was victory for them over the attack of the evil one in this ungodly world through Christ. Greater, he says, is he that is in you than is in the world. You think back to the beginning of World War II and the early days, 1939, 1940. In those dark days of World War II, it really seemed as if Hitler and the German army, the Nazi army, was invincible. That's really what people thought at that particular time, as they just swept across Europe and into Russia and other regions beyond. Well, history showed that they were invincible and that they could be defeated, and they were defeated. And likewise, as believers, we must never think that Satan is invincible. That's what Satan would want us to think. That would be his propaganda that he would seek to show in our hearts and in our minds as God's people. Yes, he is our foe. He's a powerful spiritual foe, a powerful spiritual enemy. But Christ, as we were singing about earlier on, is our friend.
Christ indeed is our Savior. He is our keeper. He is our all in all. And He is all powerful. He is almighty. And Satan to Jesus must bow. We see that time after time in the Scriptures and the Word of God. Therefore, daily as Christians, let us pray that the Lord Himself would protect us from the attacks of the evil one, and that the Lord would deliver us from every snare and pitfall and trap that the devil would set before us as the people of God. David could say of the Lord, Thou art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. And David knew the Lord being his shield, being his protector from the evil one. Also in waging war with Satan, remember this child of God that he was conquered. He was conquered at Calvary. When Christ cried out, it is finished. Conquered, yes, by the death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And whenever Christ returns, and Christ is coming back again in power and in great glory, and when He returns, the devil and all his demons, they will be bound in hell fire forever. And never again will we be troubled. Never again will the church of Christ or God's people be troubled by Satan and all the legions of hell. Because Christ will bind them and cast them all into hell, into the lake of fire. Turn with me over there to Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20, a chapter that deals with the return of Christ and many events that will happen in this world when Christ returns. And one of them will be the binding of Satan, the casting of Satan into hell, never again to affect the people of God. Look at verse number 10 of Revelation chapter 20. It says, And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, the Antichrist, and shall be tormented, notice it, day and night, forever and ever. What a day that will be. And Christ will demonstrate His power and great glory and cast the devil down into the lake of fire to be tormented forever and ever. There'll be no escape for the devil then. Turn with me over there to 1 John chapter number 2. 1 John chapter number 2. And look here again at verse 13 and verse 14. John again is writing to Christians, to God's people, and encouraging them in this victory over the evil one. Look at what he says in 1 John chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. He says, I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him, that's Christ, that is from the beginning. They knew the Lord. They loved the Lord. They trusted the Lord. They followed the Lord. And he says, I write unto you, young men. Notice what he says about them, because ye have overcome. Notice what he says. Ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known Him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the Word of God abideth in you. And again he says, and ye have overcome the wicked one. Speaking to those who were fathers, those who were young, those who were believers in the early church, young and old alike, and how they had overcome the wicked one. The Lord had given them victory over the attacks of the evil one upon them, in their Christian life, and in their witness for God. And child of God, can I say this? Same victory over the wicked one is also your victory through Christ. It was won for you, dear believer, at Calvary. Dearly, may we live in the light of that victory and by faith in Christ, step into that victory and live out that victory in our lives, day by day, as the people of God. One final thought then, just with this question, why are you troubled? And thinking of this question, why are you troubled? We can say just in the final place tonight, yes, there may be times and there are times when the believer is troubled just with the cares and the burdens of this life. Yes, there are times when God's people are beset with troubles and fears about cares and burdens in this life. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous. And my, what are we to do as God's people? Yes, there can be times when we are burdened with problems, maybe problems regarding our home, our family, problems regarding our health, our employment, our nation, even God's work itself. What are we to do when we have these troubles, these cares, these anxieties? Well, as believers, we're to bring all these cares, or to bring them all
to the Lord in prayer, and we're to leave them with the Lord in prayer. Leave them with the Lord and to order, to provide, and to undertake. That's what we're to do with the burdens, the cares, the troubles of this life. Listen to what the Lord says to us in Psalm 50, verse 15. He says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Is your heart troubled tonight, dear believer, about something in your life that concerns you? Maybe home, family, whatever circumstances. The Lord says, call upon me. Bring it to him in prayer. Again, the psalmist says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He will never suffer the righteous to be moved. The word of God says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Believer, in the troubles and the trials of life, the Lord can supply and meet your every need, whatever that need is. Turn with me back to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter number 43. And what do you see here? What the Lord says in Isaiah chapter number 43, verse number 19. Here we see what the Lord is able to do for us in the troubles and the cares and the pressures of life. Isaiah 43 and the verse number 19. Look at what the Lord says. He says, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even notice it, make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And people of God, when you and I go through wilderness experiences in life, and these things come the way of all God's people, look at the promise. The Lord says, I will even make a way in that wilderness. Whatever that trouble, that trial is, and I will make, he says, rivers in the desert. Think of a desert. It's dry, it's barren, it's arid, it's hard, it's difficult. The Lord says, even in that situation, he says, I'll make a river. The river speaks of plenty, it speaks of sufficiency, it speaks of satisfaction, it speaks of needs being supplied. What did the hymn writer say? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Remember again what Christ said to his disciples before he went to the cross. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Christ was the cure for all their troubles. Believer, Christ is the cure for all our troubles and trials of life. Yes, Christian, in all the cares of life, the Lord, he says to you and I, he says, trust me. That's what he says. He says, try me. He says, in all thy ways, he says, acknowledge me. He says, and I will direct thy paths. He says, I have wisdom, power, and love, and all that I have is yours to be employed for your good. That's really what the Lord promises to his people, the trials and the burdens of life. Therefore, in all the burdens of life, let us heed the words of the psalmist. Turn with me back to the Psalm number 37. Psalm number 37, and just look with me, please, there at the verse number 5 of that psalm, right at the early part of that psalm, Psalm 37, and the verse number 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. That's what we're to do with our ways, those troubles, those trials, those burdens of life. Commit them unto the Lord. Trust also in him. It says, hey, the Lord of glory, the Lord who is almighty, all-powerful, our Savior and our friend, shall bring it to pass. He will make every crooked place straight, every rough place smooth, and he'll meet our needs day by day as the people of God. May the Lord write his word and these few thoughts upon our hearts. May they be an encouragement to us tonight as God's people in the trials and in the battles of life. We'll just get down to our time of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, to seek the Lord. Men and women alike, young and old alike, let us pray one with another and one for another as the Lord leads and the time the Lord gives us. Do remember, I'll just leave a few prayer requests with you. Mrs. Vance in hospital, do pray for her. Brother Mr. David Miller has had surgery, is home just today, I understand, from surgery. Pray for him that he'll know a recovery and a good healing. And her sister June as well goes for surgery tomorrow. So do remember her in your prayers as well, that would go well. Remember the shut-ins connected with us as well, that they'd know God's help. Remember Olive and Harold as well in your prayers, and Susan and Julie and Basil, and also Mr. Gordon Dunn as well, is on treatment at home at the present time. Remember these people, please, in your prayers. Pray for the missionary services, God's blessing upon those who would preach and bring the reports, and pray for the bringing in of new and young families, and that souls would be saved, the children's meeting, the youth work, and the Sunday school and Bible class. Remember this in your prayers, and remember our land as well, that God would have mercy upon it, that He would turn the tide of ungodliness and awful evil that is running rampant across our land and our nation, that there be a returning unto the Lord. And do remember our missionaries as well, that God's blessing would be upon them. Maybe you could remember those laboring for the Lord tonight in the land of Scotland, the Reverend Irwin and Rutherglen there outside Glasgow, and our church up in Gardenstown as well in the north of Scotland without a pastor. Pray for that little flock. The Lord would watch over it, and that soon in the will of the Lord He would send them also a pastor and an under-shepherd. But encourage as many as possible tonight to pray and to take part, just as the Lord would lead us in prayer. Maybe ask our brother, Mr. David Moore, to lead us off.